new report finds that predominantly black students in Mississippi are being sent to jail or expelled from school at alarming rates for minor infractions. A 5-year-old sent home in a police car for wearing the wrong color shoes. Teenagers handcuffed to a railing for not wearing the required belt. Now, we reported last month on the Pennsylvania Cash for Kids scandal. 2 judges sent to jail on criminal charges after receiving kickbacks for filling private prisons with school kids. In Mississippi, there's no evidence of that, but the Justice Department claims there is the same school-to-prison pipeline. And last fall, they sued the state, the city of Meridian, Lauderdale County, and local judges for civil rights violations. The defendants deny the charges, but also say changes have been made. And this new report from civil rights groups, including the Advancement Project, conclude that not only are black students 3 times more likely to receive out-of-school suspensions than white students, but that the policies lead to higher dropout rates, higher rates of suicide among kids arrested, and a huge economic toll on the state. Eddie Hales is General Counsel and Managing Director of the Advancement Project. He joins us from the Monitor Studios in Washington, D.C. Eddie, welcome.
Well, thank you very much.
And we're also joined by Derek Johnson, President of the Mississippi Chapter of the NAACP. He joins us from Mississippi Public Broadcasting in Jackson. Derek, welcome to you as well.
Thank you for having us.
And you're there in Mississippi. Can you go through some of these examples, almost a laundry list, if you will, that you found in the report?
Everything from in Meridian, a 9-year-old girl who was, quote, acting up in school. And as a result of that, law enforcement was called to 5 young men who were on the bus throwing peanuts and was eventually charged with felony charges.
Let's stay with the peanuts for a second, because this is a lot of people can picture it. The peanuts start flying in the bus and it's funny at first, and then they're going, you know, harder and faster. One hits the bus driver. She pulls over. Police are called. You know, the sheriff in that example was quoted as saying, "This time it's peanuts. Next time it could be bodies." I mean, that underscores the sense that even though you might see it as adolescent behavior, law authorities see it as something they have to nip in the bud.
Well, it was unfortunate. That was one of the cases that I worked on. You have 47 kids on a bus, and these 5 young men were singled out because they were 16, and under Mississippi law, any offense someone commit against a school employee is elevated to a higher offense. And if you're 16 charged with a felony, you can be charged as an adult. So we had 5 young men out of 47 kids throwing peanuts. And what was ironic, they purchased the candies and peanuts from the bus drivers who were selling the stuff to support the girls' basketball team. And that was against school policy.
Okay, so there's that. But just elaborate on the story of the 5-year-old sent home in a police car for wearing the wrong shoes.
You know, many districts adopted uniform policies, and this young student parents did not have the means of many of the other children, and that morning put on the shoes that they had and kind of tried to mark out the name of the brand of shoes that was on the shoes the child had, and as a result of that, was sent home in a police car.
Okay, Derek Johnson, hold on there 1 second. I want to bring in Eddie Hales again with the Advancement Project. Eddie, just a little bit of response from Meridian. We spoke with Ronnie Walton, the lawyer for the city. He said the city asked for specific allegations and the Justice Department didn't give them any. We also read that the city of Meridian told the Justice Department before the lawsuit was even filed last October that their police department had amended the policy, so officers only respond to calls from the schools for felonies, physical violence, weapons, drugs, or a judge's order, and that officers are no longer supposed to transport kids from school grounds unless an officer has witnessed the offense. So just ask you straightforwardly, is this kind of old news?
We don't think so. There's a severe school discipline crisis, and we're pleased that the Department of Justice has taken this action.
And by the way, I want to rush to say the school district itself isn't part of the suit. But what about school districts in Mississippi that have come forward and don't deny their policies and claim they have to have them? East Jasper School District, for instance, policies there state that any minor behaviors, for instance, refusing to give your name when you're asked, not complying with their grooming rules, can result in an out-of-school suspension or expulsion after a third offense. They embrace the idea that you have to stop the behavior at that level.
This sort of broken windows concept has led to the problems we see across the country, and certainly in Mississippi, where the presence of law enforcement, the fact that Mississippi still has a paddling program in place where students are physically disciplined.
I think it's one of 19 states that still has corporal punishment.
That's correct. So rather than creating an atmosphere that is healthy for school safety and student enrichment, there is a prison-type environment in place that causes distress, distraction, and discrimination.
This policy that you referred to, broken windows, it's the mandatory minimum sentencing. Disruption in class, you are required to be sent to alternative education. But we note that while last month the Mississippi Department of Education said that school districts established their own policy, but they urged them to treat all children fairly, and they added new guidelines last year cautioning districts against sending kids to alternative schools for these minor infractions. In other words, that broken windows policy. So it sounds as if the state and some districts are trying in some ways to react to your concerns. But why else, Eddie Hales of the Advancement Project, why else do you see this as a problem?
Well, the other effect is simply cost. The increase in funding necessary to put in place these harsh discipline policies.
In fact, you extrapolate that out, and you talk about kids who, you know, are punished this way early on, maybe end up in the juvenile system, and they stay in the pipeline, they end up in prison, they don't get jobs, they end up needing assistance, they can cost the state something like $200,000 apiece?
It's incredible waste of resources. The young people should be on a path to college and careers and not to prison. And these policies put them on a path that actually hurts the interest of the states and especially the individuals and their families and communities.
Well, Derek Johnson, another note you both make is that part of the problem may be a policy that other school systems are considering. After the Sandy Hook tragedy, there's been a call for more police presence in schools, but the report concludes that that is part of this problem. How so?
In the late 90s, we had the incident in Port Mississippi where the young man came to school and he killed several students. An incident that happened just before Columbine. And as a result of that, we've seen in Mississippi the adoption of zero tolerance policies. Because of those policies, many districts that had never had an incident with children who were acting out as children began to be harshly punished. We first, as a coalition, began to address students being directed to the school detention center. In that situation, we brought in the Justice Department again. For our Columbia Training School, Oakley Training School, we found that children were being hogtied and mistreated in the detention center. Many of the children in those detention centers were there for nonviolent offenses. As a result of advocacy, we were able to get the law changed with closing one of the detention centers and limiting the admission to Oakley Training School to only violent offenders.
Oh, but still, before that, hogtied. But you did have a success there. We want to hear more about how you say the presence of police in other schools in Mississippi is changing those schools' attitudes about discipline for the worse, you say. That's Derek Johnson, president of the Mississippi chapter of the NAACP. Eddie Hales is general counsel and managing director of the Advancement Project. They wrote a report from several civil rights groups, actually, about a school-to-prison pipeline in Mississippi. The Justice Department agrees they're suing the state. We'll have more with both of them in 1 minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation about a new report from civil rights groups that says that African-American children in Mississippi are being fed into a school-to-prison pipeline, being arrested or disciplined by the police for relatively minor infractions at school. The Justice Department agrees they're suing the state. Eddie Hales is with us. He's general counsel and managing director of the Advancement Project. We're also speaking with Derek Johnson, president of the Mississippi chapter of the NAACP. And Derek, let's pick up. Before the break, you were telling us that because schools began hiring police or having police come in after a terrible shooting in a school back in the 90s. Schools were then more likely to turn to the police to solve minor disciplinary offenses. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, children acting up. Acting up could be or they were being disruptive in class. They told a joke, the children were laughing, the teachers couldn't get control. They get sent to the principal office, principal called the police. Those type of infractions would lead to children being suspended, with African Americans being overly represented, and those who were sent home for 5 days and 7 days, knowing that if you miss 9 days of school, you automatically flunk for a year. And if you are a teenager and you have to repeat a grade, that would result in dropouts. Dropouts result in activities that would then lead one to go into the penal system. It was not good policy for the state of Mississippi, and it created a pipeline for young people who should be in safe educational environments being routed out of the system, led into a life of potential criminal activity. Yeah.
And or, on the other hand, sent home where parents might be working and they were unsupervised. Eddie Hales, again from the Advancement Project behind this report that's just come out, give us the stats that show that it's happening more to Black students. This is not just in school districts that in which Black students were the majority.
Oh, yes. And again, this is in Mississippi. It's across the country. The students arrested or referred to law enforcement, more than 70% are African-American or Latino. You see similar statistics in the criminal justice system generally, which is why we say, to be frank and fair, that police are trained for the streets and usually are not trained to be in school hallways. And so we begin to see sort of a reflection of our criminal justice system playing out within the school system.
And you propose recommendations. Can you just briefly go through those?
We certainly think that you have to start off with accountability and transparency. You will see moves to ensure that there are sufficient data collection mechanisms in place so school officials are at least on notice how these arrests, these suspensions, these expulsions are playing out by race.
In fact, you want to require school districts to submit quarterly reports of discipline data, at least in the near term, and you want caps on certain kinds of expulsions. For instance, you say students shouldn't be kicked out of school for more than 5 days in a given year.
We have to input guided discretion. You cannot have these mandatory sentencing type policies in districts. You know, school building personnel should have the discretion to determine whether or not an offense rises to the level of expulsion or calling law enforcement. It should be guided by the discretion of the schools. There has to be some reporting mechanism so we can determine, or the general public can determine, whether or not school disciplinary policy is good policy for quality educational environment. We can no longer look at this as isolated or incidents where children who are acting up should be pushed out. We need to put some resources behind making sure that children who need counseling and support, they're provided that.
That seems key. You just talked about, you know, having funds for some kind of counseling. Fresh on my mind, and maybe on others, is this video that's been surfacing of this young girl who went before a judge this week, and she was flippant with him. In fact, she flipped him out. And she was there for a drug charge. This is very different. This was criminal charge. This is not disorderly behavior. This is a real criminal charge. And he kept increasing the punishment. And I looked at her and I thought, this is a girl that needs help. I'm sure there were people who looked at her and said, good for him. You know, keep punishing her more until she understands her behavior. You know, there is this attitude that schools cannot do the kind of behavior modification. Teachers can no longer handle it. Without more money and more resources, teachers can't let their classes be disrupted, even if it's disorderly behavior and it doesn't rise above that.
Well, but some children are crying for help. There are some issues going on outside of the school building. And because that exists, we have to create a safety net to make sure that children are provided a holistic support. All children don't have support at home. Last week, we got a report at the office of a 9-year-old whose mother is living at a hotel. They're homeless. They live in a hotel. And the teacher was taunting this 9-year-old because her presentation was not of quality. Can you imagine being taunted by your class, your teacher is facilitating the behavior, and you're homeless? Where is the support for that scenario?
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, Eddie Hales, among the recommendations is training to find out what the best practices are for discipline. We know that you note two cities, Baltimore and Denver, that have adopted this, and they've seen their statistics change completely. We're going to do another story on that down the road. But You know, when you talk about best practices or training, what's the one element you see missing?
You can have in-school responses rather than out-of-school suspensions to keep students in school, change behaviors for good, and allow students to have a healthy education experience.
If I gave one word, it would be compassion. Children are children, not criminals. Let's treat them as such. Let's work with them as they develop. And we have to work with children as they develop educationally, emotionally, so they can be productive adults. And we can only do that if we have compassion.
Derek Johnson, president of the Mississippi chapter of the NAACP. Eddie Hales is general counsel and managing director of the Advancement Project. That group put out the report, Handcuffs on Success. It documents what they call a school-to-prison pipeline in Mississippi. The Justice Department is now suing the state and one county. And you can read the full report at hearandnow.org. Derek, Eddie, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, are you seeing this in your school? Remember that school in Florida that called the police on a kindergartner acting out? She was given felony and misdemeanor charges. Although maybe you're a teacher who feels you're not being supported in handling disruptive kids, you have no choice but to call the police. We want to hear from you at hearandnow.org. And down the road, what did Baltimore and Denver do to turn around their policies? We'll take a break. Back with the latest news here and now.